Relationship, intention, grace. When I set out to summarize Methodism in three words, these were the best three I could think of. We see relationship present in the small groups of early Methodism and in our relationship to the needs of the world around us. We see intention in the methodological nature of our founder, inviting guests to approach our faith with purpose and method, always reaching out to say, hey, let's live with rhythm and ritual. But of these three words, relationship, intention, grace, one stands out above the others. If there was only one word to describe what it means to be Methodist, it would be grace. Grace is foundational to our theology and identity as United Methodist people. But if I were to ask most people what grace is, besides amazing, many of us don't exactly have words to describe it. Or if we do, we find ourselves loosely saying, it's about God's love. Which, by the way, is a good answer. Love and grace are often used synonymously in the religious world, especially the Christian world. Love and grace carry such a powerful relationship, and there's nothing wrong with using them that way. Love and grace are intricately intertwined, for God is love. God loves you. God loves all people. And grace is how God loves. John Wesley spent a great deal of time reflecting on how God loves us. Mainly he did so because he was always worried he wasn't good enough for God to love, and so he wanted to know how this whole thing worked so he could make sure it happened for him. Now, unlike other Christian traditions or denominations, Methodism understands there to be three types of grace. Any other pastor of any other kind will tell you they believe in grace, but they most often only mean like one kind. You know, just grace. Methodists believe there is more. The historical and theological words for these three types of grace are prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying. Or put more simply, grace that meets us, grace that transforms us, and grace that inspires us. Prevenient grace is grace that meets us. Sharing its root, prevenient, with the word prevent, prevenient grace gets to us before. It gets to us before we know it, before we ask for it, before we need it, before everything. It's the love of God that is present in our lives at each and every moment, whether we know it or not. You know, honestly, using the phrase meets us might be too simple, because prevenient grace seeks us out. This is God's love actively pursuing us. In the Gospels, Jesus tells so many parables about things that are lost. You know, a lost coin, a lost sheep. All of these parables, these stories that teach us, tell us that God is willing to give up everything to find whatever God is looking for. That's us. That's prevenient grace. That kind of grace is often described in our scriptures as the still, small voice. That peace that's within us. It's the love of God that stirs us to want to know more of God's love. It's the small voice, the part of us that creates a longing for something greater, even if we don't have words to describe it. This type of grace is very important in my understanding of God, because it helps me see God as active and present instead of distant and waiting. Ours is not a God sitting on a mountaintop waiting for us to arrive before becoming a part of our lives. God, instead, is stirring in each and every one of our hearts from our very beginnings as people at our very first breath, nudging us to begin a journey into love. But meeting us through grace, meeting us through prevenient grace, is just the beginning for God, because it's justifying grace that transforms us. This is the type of grace most other traditions are talking about when they talk about grace. And nothing helped me understand justification better than having to write a term paper on it in seminary. Now, it wasn't because of the research I did on justification. It wasn't because I had to take hours and reflect on it. No, I understood justification when I actually had to format my paper. In every word processing application, there's a little button you can push to justify your writing. Left, right, center. By default, it keeps everything lined up nicely, generally on the left side of the page. But if for some reason things get out of whack, when things end up out of line, disrupted, and disordered, one little click, and everything is brought back into line. This is justification. You'd never even know there was disorder before, looking at that nice, clean line. And this is what justifying grace is all about. It's how God's love brings our messy, imperfect, out-of-order lines, lives back in line with what God longs for and desires in each and every life. This is the forgiveness. This is the new beginning that Jesus talks about and offers to all. It's also something that requires our participation. God does this freely for all people, but we must participate. Our lives are not brought in line without our willingness. You can't be transformed unless you recognize the need. Now, most understandings of grace stop there. Good, God's brought us back into line. Our lives used to be a mess, then God's love transformed us, and now we're in line with God's righteousness. End of story. But not the end of the Methodist story when it comes to grace. Because it turns out we keep living and everything gets out of line again. Now, many would say you just keep returning to justifying grace to bring you back in line every time there's a problem. But John Wesley understood a third type of God's grace, doing something more. He saw God's grace as powerful enough to inspire us all to live better lives. In his words, to sanctify us. There's a wonderful Bible verse in 2 Corinthians that says, God's grace is sufficient for you, for God's power is made perfect in your weakness. You see, God's grace is sufficient enough to stir a change within us that we might live lives that are better in line with God's will. The idea being that with enough sanctification happening in our lives, we won't need to be justified as much because we'll already be in line. God is at work within us to make us better people, to inspire lives worthy of the grace that we've already received. And there is no limit to how far God can take us. There is an entire sermon coming up in a couple weeks on that very topic. I'm very excited about this whole series. The idea of grace that sanctifies us, grace that inspires our lives to a holier place, is uniquely Wesleyan. It's uniquely Methodist, and I love it. I love that God's love is actively making us more loving people. And I respect that God invites us to do something with that grace. God gives it and does. God gives grace freely. This is something John Wesley wrote an entire sermon about because he heard these predestination folks saying that some people got grace and other people didn't. Oh, man, he went out to the field. I think by point 27, I was like, holy Hannah, look at him go. It's unbelievable, this sermon. He pulls up Romans 8 and Paul's writing, you know, God didn't spare his own son just for some. Won't he freely give all things to all people? John Wesley was a God loves all people person. I'm a fan. John took offense to the idea that some might receive grace and others would not. John Wesley knew that God's grace was for all people and we were invited to participate in it. He knew that while prevenient grace might stir in every heart, we needed ways to participate in God's grace, ways that we could be reminded and really experience God's love, sometimes to be motivated to go out, sometimes as a balm to be healed. And he believed God offered us ways to experience that grace with great intention. He called these ways the means of grace. Activities, these means for us to bring God's grace front and center in our lives. He named many activities as means of grace. He said it this way in his own sermon specifically on this topic. The chief means of these, of grace, are prayer, whether in secret or with the great congregation, searching the scriptures, which implies reading and hearing and meditating thereon, and receiving the Lord's Supper, eating bread and drinking wine in remembrance of him, And these we believe to be ordained of God as the ordinary channels of conveying God's grace to the souls of all. This is John Wesley we're talking about. Of course there's a method. Of course there's a method for us to receive God's grace with intention. God's pouring it out all the time, but sometimes you need to know where you can go. And that's prayer and reading the scriptures and hearing the scriptures preached and receiving communion. When we are in need of grace, when we need to be reminded of God's love, these are the means we are encouraged to seek. And so let us share in God's grace together today. On this day we know as World Communion Sunday, a day where people of all Christian traditions intentionally make this means of grace a part of their service and life together.